Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life Spiritual Directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Tim Mersch. Father Dennis Cooney, our spiritual director on the program today. Father Dennis, a priest in the Diocese of Venice in Florida, pastor of St. Raphael Catholic Church in Lehigh Acres, continuing our ongoing series on the Catechism with Father Dennis, looking today at the Eucharist. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. Toll free, 888-914-9149. And the Eucharist, what does that mean to you? And how perhaps have you come to understand or appreciate or love the Eucharist even more in your journey of faith? Again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And yes, you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. So, Father Dennis, as we're talking about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and certainly what the Catechism, what the Church teaches us about the Eucharist and the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, the reality is that there are, and I don't know if it's many or a lot, there are a good number of Catholics who, it's very clear, do not believe in the real presence of Christ, that he is present in the Eucharist. What might you say to him or to her, if that's the case for one of our listeners today?
Okay, I think one of the things that we really need to do in order to really appreciate the miracle of the Eucharist, and it is an ongoing miracle, is to recapture the Jewish roots of the Eucharist. Remember, it's at the Last Supper, a Passover meal, that Jesus institutes the sacrament of the sacrifice and also his real presence. Now, here's the thing. A good, devout Jew, when he participates in the Passover meal, doesn't just simply remember a distant past event, but he believes that the God who instituted the Passover and the whole Exodus makes himself present, represents himself, if you will, at that Passover supper. And so, therefore, you are with the Israelites as they're being liberated from Egypt. You are with the Israelites as they're celebrating that first Passover meal on the night of their liberation. You are with the Lord because he transcends time, he transcends space, and he makes himself present in the celebration of the Passover. That's the context for our understanding the Mass as a memorial. I think many people, when they hear the word memorial, they think of a dead and past event that we, through our memory, represent or make present again. No, it's just the opposite. It's God who makes the event, Christ's sacrifice on the cross, present to us here and now, because he is, of course, in eternity, and he's not contained by time, and he can make his eternal offering and sacrifice present to us at every and any moment of time. And then, of course, he's present to us, first of all, in his priests, whom he, again, ordained at that Last Supper meal. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, repeat what I have just done. And we have done that down through the ages. But then also, he himself, as I said, is our Passover lamb. He is the lamb who has sacrificed for our sake and for our redemption. And that's why he says in the words of institution, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." These are not mere lovely, empty symbols or metaphors. These are the realities that Jesus makes present in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and in the gift of the Eucharist.
And then so Father Dennis, at the Last Supper, these apostles, these Jewish men, would have clearly understood what our Lord was doing.
Exactly. It was a living memorial. They understood the Passover as a living memorial, not just simply a commemoration and remembrance of a past event, but of living present reality. Now they were renewing the covenant right now, right here and now, in the Passover meal. And that's the context for understanding how Christ himself renews his covenant relationship with us, with the church, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and in the gift of the Eucharist.
Yeah, and then so take us into the sixth chapter of John. I'm always so taken with this Last Supper discourse. Jesus says very, very clearly to us who he is, and yet, even in the midst of all of that, back then there were some who could not believe it, and they walked away from him in the presence of the Messiah.
Well, again, we have to remember that it is at least initially counterintuitive when he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, or when at Mass we see what looks simply only as bread or what simply looks as wine and believe that that is really Christ present to us right here and right now. It's counterintuitive. That's why, again, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, the only sense that we are to trust with regard to the Eucharist is the sense of hearing, because that's when we receive, through that sense, we receive his word, and his word reveals the reality of what we are receiving and participating in at Holy Mass and in the sacrament of the Eucharist.
Father Dennis Cooney, our spiritual director, talking about the Eucharist today. Let's head to the phones. Kathleen, listening in Las Vegas on 970 AM. Thank you for the call, and nice to have you on The Inner Life today.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Father. So I just wanted to share an experience, and of course you stole my thunder there. I knew you would get to it eventually. But the way I understood it is we tend to limit God, and if we could just get out of ourselves and think about God, who God is, that he's almighty, he's outside of space and time, and can do all things. I mean, after all, look at the resurrection. But that he wants to share with us so much. He brings that presence to us. We don't have to move except maybe to get up out of bed and go to Mass, but he brings it to us, the non-bloody form of his sacrifice. I would ask, though, I'm thinking that the time they made the aha and the connection with the bloody sacrifice and the Last Supper might have been at Emmaus, maybe, when they first really realized, oh, this is what it was all about, and it made sense that he had to die, you know?
Well, I'm glad you made reference to that scene that's in Luke's Gospel of the disciples on the road to Emmaus on Easter Sunday afternoon, when Jesus, who is not known to be present to them, but who was really present to them because they think he's a mysterious stranger, accompanies them and explains the scriptures to them that he had to suffer and die and offer that sacrifice that they had just witnessed a few days before, and that he is alive and present. He explains the scriptures, and the scriptures reveal the mystery of the divine plan for the death and the resurrection of Christ. And then, of course, we're told that they invite him to come and sit down at a meal with them, and he performs the four actions he performed at the Last Supper. He takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives it to them. And it's at that moment, we're told, in that beautiful Emmaus scene, that they recognized his presence. And then, of course, immediately he disappears from their sight. And then later on in the account, it says that when they go back to the apostles, they say that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Now, if we know church history, the very first reference to the Eucharist was to the Eucharist as the breaking of the bread. And that goes back to John 6, because Jesus describes himself as the bread from heaven, the bread of eternal life. And he gives himself to us. And his flesh is real food, and his blood is real drink, and he gives himself to us in the sacrament of the breaking of the bread, which is the Eucharist, which is the sacrifice of the Mass and the blessed sacrament of his real presence.
Yeah. Kathleen, thanks for the call. Nice to have you on the program today. You know, Father Dennis, I just love that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread.
Absolutely.
And every time I hear it, it is one of the most gentle and touching parts of Scripture for me. And at the same time, it is such a challenge for me and maybe for all of us to recognize him today in the breaking of the bread. It's I just love that, recognized him in the breaking of the bread. What a gentle, it's so gentle, isn't it?
It is. It's wonderful. And there's another part of that description, which is, I think, a really beautiful description of the Mass. The first part of the Mass is the Liturgy of the Word, and that's when he's walking on the road and explaining the Scriptures to them. And then, of course, the second part is the Eucharist, the Liturgy of the Eucharist, and that is the breaking of the bread. And here's the thing, too, that he it describes him as disappearing from their sight. And I think that's extremely important, because it doesn't say that he departed from them, that he left them, that he abandoned them. It's just that they could no longer see him in his risen humanity, but he was still present to them not visually, but present to them in the breaking of the bread, in the Holy Eucharist. And that's what Christ is to us.
Yeah. Father Dennis Cooney, our spiritual director, we've got to take a break. And if you'd like to join us talking about the Eucharist today, toll free, 888-914-9149. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls when we come right back.